As Obi-Wan Kenobi once said to R2-D2, "Well, hello there, my little friends, and welcome to Happy Days." Well, you didn't quite say Happy Days, but you know what I'm saying. It's May the 4th, man, so may the 4th be with you all on this glorious day, night, wherever you're from. And thanks for tuning in to Happy Days, man. I'm your pal, Jesse, and welcome you to Episode 6, Season 2 of my fun little podcast where, honestly, I'm just being happy and sharing happiness with other people. Interesting people. People that have got an interesting story to tell. And I'm sure many of you agree that have been loyal enough to listen and continuously listen to this podcast. It's a lot of fun, and there's a lot of interesting people that we've had on this show already, and it's been a tremendous honor for me, and I've really enjoyed it. It's great. I didn't expect to enjoy it as much as I do, but lo and behold, I freaking love it. It's great. It's good fun. Some friends have approached me and asked me how hard it is to do a podcast, and honestly, it's not that hard at all. There's really not much to it. To give you the great secret, I downloaded the Anchor app, okay? It's a free download. Anyone can download it and use it and make their own little podcast if they want. I highly encourage it. You know, I tell people all the time, follow your dreams. Do what makes you happy, okay? Success is really measured in happiness, okay? So for me, doing things like this podcast is a real little key to that happiness. I enjoy it. It gives me purpose. It gives me fulfillment, okay? And the fact that I get to explore happiness with some of the people that I've spoken to has been really cool. Just being able to sort of diversify away from talking business for the whole episode with people and just, you know, just being able to explore, you know, just that human side of them. That's what I'm interested in, and I'm sure that's what you're interested in as well. So thank you very much for continuing to listen to Happy Days, and man, while I'm having a good time, we're going to keep this train rolling. Don't you worry about that. So yeah, this episode's a good one. This is episode 6 of season 2, and I talk in this episode to a very good friend of mine from way back. We started out when he was playing keyboards in a band called Headcase, one of Brisbane's most metal bands at the time, and today he is the man behind Larrikin Puppets. I'm talking about Brett Hansen, a wonderful human being, a real happy kind of guy, and he's following his dreams and working with puppets and putting smiles on dials. It's amazing. I'm so proud of the guy. He even did his training in New York City alongside the guys behind Sesame Street. And I tell you what, man, this is an inspiring chat about following your passions and about, you know, hitting those bumps in the road and picking yourself back up. This is a really great example of that. You know, adversity, you know, overcoming those obstacles that we call life, you know, because I've been fortunate enough that people quite often write to me and talk about the obstacles in their life. And, you know, I always tell them the same thing, man, we're going to hit bumps in the road, but it's how we get up. That's the measure of what we do. Okay. So, you know, if you fall down, pick yourself back up, man, and keep punching. All right. That's what life's all about. Okay. And this conversation with Brett is a prime example of that. He's a wonderful human being. What he's doing with Larrikin Puppets is nothing short of extraordinary. One of his puppets, Trog, featured in my band Dark Cell's film clip, which was fantastic. I cannot believe it. It was so much fun. I'm talking about the song Raise Your Horns. It was a great fun film clip, and that was one of my favorite film clips because it featured so many of our friends from all over the world, from all walks of life. And when I asked Brett if Trog would be in it, it was just completely blowing my mind that he accepted and said, yes, Trug would be happy to be in it. So that's so cool, man. So anyway, man, enough waffling from me. I just really just wanted to say thank you so much to you guys and gals for tuning in and supporting this podcast. If you know friends or, you know, have family that enjoy listening to people like me babble on about stuff and happiness, then tell them about the show. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a comment, rating, you know, whatever, good or bad, doesn't matter. You know, I'm not really into that numbers, statistics thing. So, you know, for me, it's about that random person that comes to me and says, hey man, I feel inspired and I'm going to follow my dreams. That's what this is about, man. Following your dreams. Doing what makes you happy. Okay? Yeah. We'll explore this more along the, you know, the way of this journey of happy days. So, yeah. And hopefully, one of the other goals that I hope to achieve this year is the addition of another podcast that's going to delve more into my love of horror. It's going to be a really good one, I promise you. And you're probably thinking to yourself, oh great, another horror podcast. But I promise you, this one is genuinely going to be different, okay? So stay tuned for that one, guys and gals. Now, on with the show, shall we? Enjoy Happy Days, Episode 6, with Brett Hansen. Hey, Brett.
Hey, Jesse. How's it going?
Really well, my friend. How are you?
I'm very good. Thanks. Yeah.
That's great. Thanks for sharing your Happy Days with me, mate.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Yeah, it's been a while between chats.
It has, yes. It's been a long time. For listeners, I've known Jesse since about 2004. You were playing in Candy Pain at the time.
Oh my god!
I was playing in Headcase.
Yes, and, you were.
You might have heard the chat with Matt from King Parrot recently, because my brother Todd Hansen is the drummer in King Parrot, and he was the drummer in Headcase as well. And throughout the years, we performed with all of your bands, Candy Pain, Devolution, and I think the last gig we ever played was with you guys in Dark Cell.
Holy jeez, man, full circle. You've got a fantastic memory of all this. man, I have nothing but fond memories of you playing keyboards in Headcase, you know, with that crazy clown mask. And I always felt for you, bro. Always felt for you. I always thought, man, that guy to be up there on stage that long wearing that mask, you would just be like, must be just completely exhausted by the end of it.
Oh, I didn't even think of it. Like you're just in the moment. You're just really, you become that character a little bit like my current full-time profession as a puppeteer. You kind of lose yourself in that character and you don't even think about if it's hot or uncomfortable or whatever. Mm-hmm. You just get up there and I could see through the eyes of the mask. So I was just really enjoying putting on a fun theatrical performance and just feeding off the energy of the crowds. Always a fun party on stage with Headcase. So always a good time. Yeah.
Always, man. Nothing but good memories, man. That's really interesting points that you've raised there. So, obviously, today you are the man, the legend behind Larrikin Puppets.
Yes.
I've been following that progress with a very vested passion, and I'm really proud of you, man. You've really worked hard at it, and you've just built this amazing brand.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's we're almost, because I say we're now, because my wife, Elisa, is part of it with me. But you know, it started out as just me and humble little me going to little backyard birthday parties and things. And I do less of the parties now and more larger kind of festivals and like libraries and schools and things like that. Childcare centers always as well.
Yep.
And, it's become a full-time living now. We do several gigs every week now, which is really nice, really grateful, for that. I mean, it's not easy. A lot of people said, look, it's impossible to make money out of puppets. Like, how are you going to do that? Particularly in Australia, like a lot of people, Australia, if they want to pursue big artistic goals, you know, go to America or the UK or whatever, or even leave Queensland and head down to Victoria. But it's been a long and interesting journey, not without its hiccups and struggles along the way, but always grateful for any of the opportunities that have come up. And it certainly has grown and gotten bigger and better as the years have gone by. Yeah.
That's fantastic, man. And I mean, you've certainly hit the nail on the head about your progress with it. I mean, there's always going to be hiccups along the way, but the fact that you've started small, you've worked your way up from parties and built up to, you know, now you're doing all these childcare centers and libraries and things like that. And I love that you did a post recently, you and your wife performing, and the librarians told you to turn the volume up.
Yeah.
How cool does that feel?
It's great. I mean, like, often it's a very strange request because it was a library, and like traditionally when we were all kids, we were told to be quiet in the library.
Yeah.
But now libraries have become these big community hubs where the whole family comes down and you can watch entertainment, you can see movies, you can like sing and dance. And it's just, I mean, I thought that there was a time there where libraries were looking much like cinemas. Libraries were looking like they were all going to be shut down because no one was reading anymore and no one was interested in that kind of thing. But they kind of just turned into these really great community hubs. And it just makes for extra fun for us during the school holidays because we get to perform these big events for kids and families at the libraries. And then to be told, oh, look, we want you to turn it up. Because we had two performances yesterday in one library, and we did the first one and the audience was great. And the librarian said, yeah, for the second one, can you make the songs louder? All right. Because I think it was to do with the levels. They thought our live mic'd up voices were just a little bit louder than the pre-recorded music that we were playing. But it was refreshing to hear that from a librarian.
how inspiring, man. That's fantastic. I mean, again, I'm so happy for you, man. That's just great. And it's interesting points that you've raised there also about libraries. I'm a library fiend. I love going to the library. And I'm definitely there with you in some degree. But I feel like the libraries have evolved with the change, you know, the decrease of population to whatever degree, evolving with adapting with things like more games and video games for kids, but also in, say, the last 10 years, sorry to hold you up there, but more the comic books and graphic novels and animes, that's been interesting. But now also bringing, you know, your puppet shows into it as well. I feel like it's breathing a whole new kind of life into libraries.
Yeah, you often think a lot of this sort of stuff was once frowned upon. Like comic books were once seen, and even graphic novels as well, were seen as just this trash, junk stuff. Just read a proper novel, a good book. Like, but now it's highly respected and it's good, decent literature. It is fine. It's perfectly fine to have in a library. And other things that you mentioned, like video games and everything. That was another thing that was once told, oh, look, stop wasting your life away on the couch on these games. But there's great games and it adds to the interactivity and the community coming together and enjoying all of this stuff. Anime as well. It's brilliant stuff.
And that's exactly it, man. It's a community. It's bringing all those people together. And I feel that's fantastic that, you know, they're bringing your show into the foray as well. Like that really just breathes a whole new kind of life for the future, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, we certainly love the interaction with our puppet shows. Like we don't sort of set up and perform like a Punch and Judy narrative. That's something.
Sorry, we've just lost you there for a little bit. Hopefully we get you back in 2 seconds. Larrikin Puppet. There he is.
I'm back. No? Yeah. I don't know what happened there.
Technical gremlins.
We rather than performing sort of a narrative puppet show, like a lot of maybe Punch and Judy and that sort of thing. And that has its place. But for us, we really love the live interaction and engagement with the kids and families. Like our puppets, they're sort of Muppet style puppets, and they you know, with the moving mouths, they talk and the kids talk back and they can respond. And sometimes you can be quick-witted and respond with a really funny punchline to something someone in the audience has said. So it's really good when everyone can come together and enjoy. It's almost like comedy, but it's like family, a family comedy puppet show that we do. And it's it's always good. Get a lot of laughs from the parents as well.
It sounds so. I've got to ask, how's my mate Trog doing?
Yeah, he's good. He's having a rest after, because it is the school holidays, so we keep pretty busy with vacation care and libraries and things like that.
We had
a couple of gigs cancelled, of course, during the 3-day lockdown, but it gave us a bit of a chance to rest and have a bit of creative development time. And
That's awesome.
So we sort of make the best of those times whenever things are cancelled. And and then we're right back into it as soon as the lockdown ends. So,
well done. Yay. Trog, of course, is one of the amazing puppets in your show that also featured early on in a Dark Cell clip.
Yes.
A while back, which was a lot of fun. Raise Your Horns, it was.
Yep.
And that was such a treat, man. It was probably one of the highlights of that clip was seeing Trog in there. I was just like, yes.
Yeah.
But
we've since done, the Trog's appeared in a few music videos now.
Last year,
Sony Music Australia, that's probably one of our biggest clients, hired us to perform with our characters in a music video for Illy and Wax. So Illy's the popular Australian rapper.
Very popular.
And the collaboration he did with Wax, the Brisbane band.
Mm-hmm.
And so our characters were all in that, and that was really good to see it all come together. And then recently we did another music video, again with our characters in it, for a local Brisbane rock band, Gutterfire. And that's coming out.
That's awesome.
That's coming out in May 2021. Mm-hmm. So that should be fun to watch as well.
So you're still keeping your finger in the rock and roll pie, so to speak?
That's right. Just staying in there with, just trying to keep up with, it's just weird that now puppets are part of the music. I've gone from being in the music scene to coming into the music scene from time to time with the puppets. So
that's cool.
We always love the opportunity to do any film and TV stuff with the puppets that comes up.
Yeah.
It doesn't come up much in Australia, but our formal training, mine in particular, I did advanced training in Jim Henson film and TV monitor puppetry, that like what they do with the Muppets and Sesame Street.
Yeah.
And I did that in the US with puppeteers from the Muppets and Sesame Street. So that was sort of like a dream come true to meet some of these legends.
That's incredible. That would have been like an absolute highlight and inspiration for you getting into the whole business as well, right?
Yeah. Well, I never thought I'd find myself actually in America being trained by the best in the business. So I'm self-taught. I've always done it since I was sort of 3 years old, but I really wanted to really learn properly, get some formal training. And I don't think it's enough to say I'm self-taught. I think that's sort of a bit arrogant to say, I just taught myself. I've just always done it. I think it's nice to go and kind of see what my heroes from the Jim Henson Company think, and just sort of learn properly from them, see where I'm going right, see where some changes need to happen. Kind of have my own skills validated and learn a whole lot of new skills. So I've become a much better puppeteer since the training that I had. And it's just a dream come true, not only to meet these amazing performers, but actually just work with them, train with them, just be in their world for a little while.
That's a real pinnacle life moment right there. Like, you know, just having a dream and having an idea that, of something you want to do in life, and then going to the source of your inspiration, your childhood coming back full circle. I mean, that just must have made you feel like you were 5 years old.
Yeah. But then sort of weirdly, because I was there, it was professional development. There was the little brief moments of seeing these puppeteers and sort of that whole, like, being a bit of a fan at the same time, but then getting back into the task at hand and being a professional about it and just working with them and just being calm and cool about it. There were some people sort of who were there sort of just learning and not really, they weren't really running businesses. They were sort of just there just to learn for the first time. There were some beginners as well. And I think a lot of them might have been sort of big fans. They were a bit shaky and a bit sort of nervous the whole time.
Oh, wow.
But for me, I sort of swallowed and got rid of all of that and all the nerves and everything early on and just really focused on advancing my skills and just really listening to everything they had to say and took on board every bit of feedback and just really took it all in and enjoyed it.
That's fantastic. And with your puppets and your show, like your songs and everything like that, how's the process putting a show together for you? Do you focus on the songs first or what characters apply to what scenario?
Yeah, I guess with the day-to-day puppet shows that we generally do with all of these existing characters, I started out writing a few. What we do is sort of a variety, comedy variety show, I guess. And so we kind of, I sort of put together a bit of a rough script of all the different acts. So we keep it fast-paced, punchy, snappy, because kids have pretty short attention spans, which is why we try to stay away from sort of long narratives. We just keep it punchy. A new character comes up with a different song, and then another skit happens. And then so we kind of just work out what works here, what these jokes are funny, that's a funny skit, this is a good song that we can place here. And then we've got plenty of shows where we can test it. In the beginning, I tested a lot of my material at the birthday parties I used to do. And then what got laughs stayed. And there's a couple of these little skits that are still in today's puppet shows that worked way back then and still work today. And then the stuff that doesn't work or doesn't get a laugh, you just get rid of it and replace it with something else. You just keep coming up with new things, swapping out things and changing it to new things. When we get new characters, they come in and replace old characters sometimes. We write catchy original songs to incorporate into the performances as well.
That's awesome, man. So that's an incredible process that you go through putting it all together. Oh, there he is. We had a little technical gremlin again. There we go. I was just filling in the blanks. So hell of a process, man.
Yeah. You sort of just find what works and just change it up when you need to. And but we've got this other production that we're working on, a much larger scale theatre production, which is a narrative based on a children's book. And it's we've got all the puppets. We've actually recorded a cast of child actors and singers to do all the voices. Normally we do all our own voices because puppeteers generally, when you see puppets on the street, that's the puppeteers mic'd up doing the voices as they perform. So they're sort of acting as well. But for this particular production, we've got some characters, puppet characters that are kids, and we thought it'd be more authentic to have real kids as the voices pre-recorded that we sort of lip sync the puppets to. A bit more authentic than us going, adults going, "Hi, I'm a kid. How are you?" And we'll have real kids.
And we wrote
all the songs and wrote the script, adapted a story into a script. And the two authors of this book have been supportive, really supportive the whole way about this. And they're really excited to see it all come together. So that's a whole different level of more of a theatre performance rather than a pop-up theatre. What we do with our little puppet stage at childcare centres and festivals and libraries and things, it's a pop-up stage. It folds out, you can put it in the corner of any room. Whereas this one has a big sets and backdrops and props and things, it's made for larger theatre spaces. So it's in the works.
That's awesome. And it must be fun, like husband and wife working together, writing songs. I mean, do you have those moments over the dinner table going, "Oh, I've got a great idea for a song idea. What do you reckon of this, love?"
Yeah, we do. It's funny because we live, work and play together. We're sort of joined at the hip. So there's sometimes a little bit of creative differences that can happen, but overall, we work really well together as a team of writers and performers. And we just, we come up with the idea and we work on it and change it. And then sometimes it just, all times it ends up as something really amazing that we're really happy with. And then we go ahead and get it recorded. Cool. And it's a lot of fun.
That's so cool. What about the puppets? Do you guys actually create the puppets yourselves, or do you get them manufactured?
Yeah,
outside?
So a lot of the puppets we design ourselves. So I mm-hmm. draw and design a lot of the puppets. I actually studied animation and used to do cartooning as well.
No way.
That these days my drawing is limited to designing puppets. And then we send the designs out to puppet builders who have it's an art in itself, the skills that they have to do all the gluing and sewing and the materials that they source to put it all together. I mean, these are Muppet style puppets. They are intricate and really well made. And I made one puppet. We have a chicken called Free Range the Chicken. But that puppet cool. was made under strict instruction during one of the workshops in the USA. So I had a lot of help.
Right.
But it's certainly an art in itself, and much respect to the amazing, talented puppet builders we've worked with. We've got about 15 different puppet builders we've worked with all around the world, and they're just brilliant the way they can bring these drawings to life, to three-dimensional puppet characters.
That's incredible, man. I mean, like, it's such a vast industry. I mean, a lot of, you know, the average person listening or you know, that have heard of puppets, they probably wouldn't, you know, think twice about what goes into it. But there really is a lot of work that goes into it, from, you know, creating the design through to manufacturing the puppets, the whole kit and caboodle. It's such a lengthy process.
Yeah, definitely. And we've even had a client recently we're working with where it's a bit different again. They've hired us to design a puppet and then get the puppet built by a puppet builder, and then like they're paying for all of it, this particular client, and then I'm going to be the performer of this character for the client, but it's not a Larrikin puppets character, it's their puppet character that I designed and had built and then will be performing for them. So that's a whole new level that we're sort of branching out, working with different people and different kinds of things, different kinds of clients. So that's really interesting too, I think.
That's really cool. And I mean, collaborations like that, to me, it sounds like they're really, you know, for you as a business, taking steps forward and really you know, spreading and casting the net out there for what you do, and you know, catching some great opportunities along the way.
Yeah, well, when I first started the business, there really wasn't much going on. I had been wanting to start a puppetry business for a long time, and there are all sorts of barriers and things. But when the window was finally ready for me to sort of go in and do that, I had parents telling me, you should really do it because there's a real limit to what we can book for our kids. There are clowns, magicians, costume characters, animal nurseries, or people demonstrating reptiles. There aren't any puppet shows out there. Where are the puppet shows? They're gone. I've since come to meet and know amazing puppeteers. We love supporting and encouraging all of our fellow puppeteers. We're not a competitive group of people, puppeteers. We're generally very supportive of each other. And So, you know, you sort of come and you learn about more puppeteers around the place once you're in it. But yeah, certainly around Southeast Queensland, there wasn't a whole lot going on at the time. And I sort of built this opportunity and paved it and carved out this little career. And that's just grown, and people have found out what we do and who we are, and created more opportunities, and the need for puppets has increased, and more people are wanting puppets for everything, for performances, for music videos, for film and TV spots here and there. Workshops, we run workshops as well, so it's really good. The puppetry is just everywhere. We've just really created something. We created a monster, I think.
Yeah, you have, man.
Quite literally, puppet monsters and this big kind of need for puppetry.
And there certainly is a need for it. And what's interesting for me is also you mentioned before about starting the business. I quite often reflect on, you know, the crossroads of life and taking that step that surprisingly a lot of people don't take out of fear. What was that moment like for you? Like, you've approached this crossroads in your life of, do I continue working normal day jobs or do I pursue my dreams and passions and take
the plunge? Well, I guess the way I started my business was not really the way I would wish on anyone. I guess it was bad luck that became good luck. I guess if that makes sense.
Yep.
So I was working normal day jobs, or if you can call janitors and call center and retail work normal. I guess it's a normal, you know, they're pretty mundane jobs. They're minimum wage, unfulfilling jobs, but you know, I did what I had to do to earn a living. Yep.
Necessity.
And I guess and when it all fell apart, I auditioned for a role in Avenue Q, which is a puppet musical. Brisbane Arts Theatre were putting on Brisbane's first production of it. And I'd seen the touring production come through. It's a Broadway musical. It's a Sesame Street parody. They deal with adult concepts like racism and homophobia and unemployment. Anyway, I auditioned for Brisbane's production and I got in. All of the other cast were actors. They'd never had any puppetry training, but they got me to train all the puppeteers because I was the only one that sort of had decent puppetry skills at the time. And I got to be in the show as well. And so I was doing that at nights and on weekends, and I was working a day job during the week. And I was married at the time. I had my ex-wife, so I was married. And then that all ended. So Avenue Q ended, and then I lost my job, and then my first marriage ended. So I kind of lost everything. I didn't have anything left. I had to start my whole life from scratch. So I thought, well, this is the time. This is the time. I've got nothing else left to lose. I might as well go ahead and start this puppetry business that I've been really wanting to start for such a long time. So I managed to find out about this unemployment program for entrepreneurs, the NEIS program, NEIS, New Enterprise Incentive Scheme. I'd never heard of it before. I wish I knew about it when I was in my 20s because I would have started this ages ago. But anyway, found out about it, applied for it. I had to go in for an interview and really convince them that puppetry was a viable business. And I got in. It was run like a lovely, like a course, like a TAFE course on how to set up a business, how to do all the boring stuff like marketing and profit and loss statements and all of that. And then, creating the my characters, getting all my staging and all of that sort of stuff set up. And then there was a mentorship program as part of it. So I spent a year with a mentor, business mentor, helping me through, get all the necessary licenses and things, blue card, public liability insurance, all that stuff. And then I left the NEIS course with this amazing, legal, proper, awesome little business. And I had it all. And and I haven't looked back because after about 3 years, I was finally working full time at self-employed as a puppeteer. And then, of course, my current amazing wife, Elisa, came into the picture and she started helping me out and she joined in and then she started performing characters and then helping me put together bigger, better scripts and writing songs together. And it's just become much bigger and better.
Man, that is inspiring. That's beautiful.
So, but I was very poor. I was living on tins of tuna and instant noodles. I wouldn't wish that on anyone. But if the opportunity, if you find a way that you can get it, you'll do anything. Like you will be, you'll live on tuna and instant noodles. You'll struggle to pay your bills for a while. You just got to do it. But I think what really got the ball rolling, what really got me to get the business to really grow was when I was working a day job and running the puppetry business on the side for a little while. Elisa was in the picture at this point and we were still dating. We weren't married yet, but she offered me to move in. So I moved in with Elisa and I was having such a hard time at this particular job that I was in that she said, well, I earn a living too. You don't need that minimum wage job. Work from home, run your business and work full time on your business. And that's that amazing trust.
That's awesome.
I worked full time on getting my website sorted out, doing all my marketing, I just worked full time on getting this, growing this, building and growing this business.
That's incredible. And we've just had a little technical gremlin. One more time.
Yep.
These things happen.
Did you get there my full go. Last back. Answer?
All right. So, no, not quite.
We got the building part. Building my website, building, doing all my marketing, doing all of that stuff. And I just worked on it full time. And it's just amazing to find someone who trusts you enough and is willing to risk it with you. And I just worked full time on my business and just built it and grew it full time. And then until the money started coming
that's
in.
Awesome.
So that's something else that it's a rare thing to find someone who's willing to let you just work on your business full time and trust that you're going to do that work. And if I was passionate enough about it, I just worked and worked and worked until, you know, and until it was in a position where I was able to make money out of it full time.
That's incredible, man. What an inspiring and happy tale, man. I mean, obviously the beginnings is, you know, pretty grim and obsolete, but I think that's a very common parody, common tale for many businesses that have flourished or people that have had dreams and goals. They've always started, you know, literally at rock bottom, but the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, that's right. And it's just a lot of people will start something and they'll try something. And if the results aren't satisfactory in the first couple of months, they kind of give up on it. Oh yeah, I tried that, but I wasn't making any money out of it. So I just went back to the easy 9-to-5 job. I was making money then, but I wish I could. I wish someone would tap me on the shoulder and hire me to do my dream job. It's like, well, it doesn't work that way. There's a saying, if opportunity doesn't knock, build a door. So I built a door and I just built it from the ground up. And that's the only way to do it. Yeah.
That's amazing. It really is. So we're almost there with this chat. And I wanted to ask you as well, in terms of happiness, you've got this amazing show going. You've got these larger-than-life looking characters in your show, and you've got these wonderful songs that you perform with your wife. For you, how do you describe the happiness of the overall experience? Is it performing the shows, performing with your wife, or is it seeing the end result with the happiness and laughter?
Oh, look, all of the above, but absolutely that the happiness and laughter from the kids and families. If you can get a room full of laughing families and kids, that's you've achieved everything. All of it's for that. It's all for them, the happy smiling faces, and the people that come up afterwards and say, "Hey, that was really good. Where's your next gig?" You know, that sort of thing. It's really nice to get that positive feedback. Or if someone gets on your Facebook page or your website and actually takes the time to write and say, "Hey, I was at your performance today and I really enjoyed it. My kids had a great time." That's really rewarding too. That's what it's all about in the end, I think.
Absolutely, man. I mean, you know, you touched on a couple of things recently about, you know, awards and things like that. And I've been there with you on many occasions. You know, sometimes you sort of, your head fills with a bit of self-doubt. You think, oh man, no one cares, you know. But I think you sort of hit the nail on the head when you talk about the reward being the happiness and the smiles and the return clients. I think that is the greatest award you can achieve.
That's it. Ultimately, it's we're in this for the audiences and, you know, making people happy. And you know, at the end of the day, yeah, you mentioned the awards. Like we've entered a lot of awards over the years. Just to it might be nice to get a bit of an award for all your hard work. But when you've got awards judges that aren't amongst it, like they're not hearing and they're not surrounded by laughing kids and families, they're not dancing along with all of everyone dancing to your songs. They're not hearing that feedback. They're not getting the vibe. And it's not enough just to send them a description of your work and send a couple of pictures or even a video is not even enough. You've got to be amongst it. And if they're sitting there and they're like, next, it's just puppets, just stupid puppets. Let's give the award to a real, let's give it to the real nominees. Like there's a lot of people sort of dismiss puppets.
And yeah.
Puppets are just stupid little dumb wastes of time. But like we see the side of wide-eyed wonder and fun and laughter, and everyone's saying, "Wow, that was amazing." And we're just going to have to be zen about. So we'll keep entering awards and competitions and things like that. We're not going to give up on that because
for sure,
one day it would be nice to have a little bit of a plaque or a bit of a trophy that says, "Well done, you've worked hard and you've earned this."
Yeah.
But in the meantime, we'll still always have the audiences that give us that amazing positive response.
Yeah, absolutely, and I mean that's such a good attitude to have, and it's you know, I think it's consistency and persistence, and I think you've ticked both of those boxes. So yeah, keep at it, brother. Like it's you're doing great things, man. So, Brett, I just want to say thank you so much for sharing your happy days with me, brother.
It's my been pleasure. Inspiring. I always love sharing the stories and sharing the positivity and the happy days. Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's great. And do you want to give a quick shout out to your website for people?
Yeah, well, we're pretty much everywhere on the internet. We're at larrikinpuppets.com.au. We're on Facebook and Instagram. We're on TikTok as well. We've got 32,000 followers on TikTok, which is crazy. So it's you're certainly going to see our puppets flapping their little puppet mouths in your face somewhere on the internet. So yeah, we're everywhere.
That's awesome.
Oh, and we've got all of our songs on Spotify as well, man. If you want to hear some of our crazy puppet songs.
Excellent. Even better, man. That's great. Well, awesome. Thanks so much for your time, Brett. I really appreciate it. And it's been an absolute joy listening to your stories. It's very inspiring. And right from the Jim Henson angle, fantastic.
Well, yeah, thanks for having me. It's certainly been a fun journey and looking forward to keeping it up. And keep making people happy, and maybe the kids we're performing for now, maybe, you know, I'm thinking I'll be still doing this when I'm in my 80s, so I'm looking forward to the older audiences saying, "Hey, I remember when you came to my school." I'm like, "Oh yeah, great, here are my kids." Oh yeah, excellent. I'll be one of those old ancient little puppeteers in my 80s.
Mate, it's an ageless industry, man. So
yeah, thank you very much. Keep up the good Thanks work, for having bro. Me.
Thanks you for too, your time, Brett. And have a happy day.
Bye.